Hello and welcome to episode number 60 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson, the big 6-0. We've made it to episode 60. We've done 60 episodes. Anyway.
Yeah, can't remember any of them, but I'm sure they were all amazing.
We're here. We're a bit earlier this week, aren't we? Because I think, are you off on Friday or something?
That's a problem with Fridays. Like, they get interrupted by long weekends and things more often than other days. But there you are. Doesn't really matter.
Friday's good, though. I like Fridays. It's a nice, bit more chilled day to do a podcast on. It's quite nice.
Agreed. We'll stick with Fridays when we can, but when we can't, we'll squeeze it in some other time in the week. But so what are we talking about today, Mark?
We've just got two topics today, but we usually end up rabbiting on about them for plenty of time, so we'll probably end up doing the same. The first topic is about project requests, specification documents, and the joy of doing those. And the second one is about migrating content, which is something that came up with the clients. I don't think it was this week, actually. It was last week or the week before, even. We had a chat about migrating content from site to site, etc. So I thought it was an interesting chat, and it's worth sharing thoughts and things about that, definitely.
Yeah, cool. As always, if you are watching along live, I can see that there's a few people watching today. Please do say hello in the live chat comments on YouTube. Also, always interested to hear your thoughts on what we're discussing, any questions you might have on the topics we're discussing, but also any general WordPress topics.
Yeah, really. We've only got two topics today, so if you've got any questions about WordPress, things you've seen this week, let us know. We can put them at the end if you come.
Great. So let's get stuck in then. So I think this, Mark, this came up as a reaction to, like, well, it's happening all the time to us at the minute, where you get like a new project request from either an existing client or a completely new prospect. And for us anyway, we find that very, very first part of a project really quite painful. To the point where we've potentially made a decision not to do like things like website builds and project work and focus nearly 100% on our product stuff, which we haven't decided that for sure yet. But I think the pain of this, of what we're about to discuss, is definitely a factor in where we're taking our business. So describe the pain, Mark. Describe what happens.
Well, ultimately, it comes down to the fact that for any project, you will write some sort of project outline specification document, which essentially says, we are going to do stroke build this for you. That's basically what we're saying, isn't it, in that document?
Yeah.
And it might well say, we're not going to do stroke build these things. You know, that's what we're not going to do. But that's what that document essentially is. You know, you're hiring us to do all these things, and we're going to charge you this much money, and you're going to pay us like this, et cetera, et cetera. And it just seems to be the harder we try to get that document, so it includes every possible eventuality that comes back, it never does. And it always ends up where the client comes back and it's like, well, that was in the specification, and then, well, it wasn't in the specification, and you've just got this backwards and forward dance between you and the client of hassle, them thinking that they've got things, you know, sorted. We're thinking we haven't got this included in the spec, you know, we weren't doing this and so forth. And it's just painful and frustrating. And I think it's one of those, like you said, it's one of those things where you just think, do we actually need to do this anymore, really? Mm. And I think we've tried so hard over the years to refine that process and improve that process, and I suppose it hasn't worked is wrong, because it's not, you know, the things we've done have definitely improved it. But you still always end up in...
What have we done?
Well, we went through a whole process of like working about what worked and what didn't work with those specifications, looking at projects where we won them and where we didn't win them, and when we'd done projects, what went well and what didn't well, and why it went, you know, why didn't we end up with this? Kind of an example, but you know, a client asks X and instantly we can refer to Y to say, well, no, and then the client says, yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
So a constant refining of those things to a point where it works, but it never works perfectly. And that means it's painful at some point in the project.
The process that we came to for, certainly for the big projects, so if someone comes to us and they want like a custom website build project, we would encourage a project discovery phase. That was what we kind of came to that worked really well, and that would be a paid for phase of work. And at the end of that, you would have a detailed technical specification of work outlining as much and in as much detail as was kind of reasonable what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do as part of that project. And that actually worked pretty well, didn't it? And it did make the projects run a bit smoother. The process itself was quite enjoyable in a way, because like, we're getting paid for it, so it kind of takes that pressure off of like, oh my goodness, we're wasting so much time, we haven't even won this bit of work yet. So we were getting paid for it. The result was good, and the resulting project was better for having done that. But yeah, I think we would still go through that process. But there's still like a pre-process to that, as in you have to get to that stage where someone is prepared to spend a chunk of money on a discovery process. So that's even hard to get to that. But I feel like for us recently, especially because we haven't done so many like big website builds recently, I feel like this is happening to us on a kind of micro level, like a feature level, with current clients as well. So it's like people coming to us, oh, can we add this feature to the website? And then you're like, oh my God, right. I mean, I know we can do that, but I actually have no idea how yet. And therefore, I have no idea how long it's going to take. So I can't give a realistic estimate. And then you're just kind of like stuck in this limbo. It's like, they want an estimate. We can't give it like a realistic one. So what are our options? Our options are to either charge by the hour, which we don't really want to do for lots and lots of reasons, or whack like a massive price on it to cover our backs in case it's way more difficult than we think it is.
And then the client comes back and says, whoa, I didn't think it was going to be that expensive.
Which happened.
Probably isn't going to be that expensive, but exactly. To cover it back, we've had to make it that expensive.
Exactly. And last week, that's what, like, that happened to us. I can think of the podcast pop-up thing that we were doing. And we quoted something that we thought was actually reasonable for the amount of work that we were going to have to put in. But I can totally see it from a client's point of view. It's like, hang on, what, 600 quid to like get something to pop up on a website? Are you being serious? It's like, yeah, but it's not just that. It's, you know, this doesn't currently exist and there's nothing to do that on the website currently. So we're going to have to build this whole system and build a front end for it and blah, 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 blah.
And then just going on from that, not in this instance, but you've then had clients in the past, that's, you know, it's like, oh, I thought this would just be included anyway. Like, surely you can do that on a website. Most websites have pop-ups on them. And then you get into that argument about, well, but it wasn't in the specification. Yeah, but we didn't have everything in specification. And it's just, it's just hassle and pain and frustration a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know?
And we've tried to move away, haven't we, from like time-based billing.
Yeah.
But in some ways that would solve this problem, in the sense that we have no idea how long this is going to take. Pay us X amount per hour and we'll get it done and we'll keep you informed. But that's not a great experience for the client.
No.
Because they've got no idea if they're going to get what they need and how much that's going to cost. It's like, it's ridiculous, really.
It's like saying to someone, like, I want you to paint my house, you know, I want all the walls painted. And then someone, yeah, we'll charge £30 an hour plus paint. How long will it take? I don't know, really. You would never do it, would you? And I get that. You would never commit to just an open-ended amount of time to get the job finished. And so from a client's perspective, that's why hourly billing on those things doesn't really work, you know.
Yeah.
It needs to be fixed cost for me are much, much better in that aspect.
Sam says, just, yeah.
Sorry, go on. We would.
No, he's just, yeah, we would give an estimate. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, you're breaking up, sorry, Keith. We would give an estimate and charge by the hour. So what happens when the estimate's wrong by a long way or not? You know, it depends. And some things, like, you genuinely not sure what the cost is.
Yeah.
Granted, and you're right there, Sam, most things you will get reasonably right.
If they're things you've done before.
Yeah.
And quite often that's our problem, because we're doing kind of quite custom work. We'll get asked to do something that we've never done, and it's like, okay,
it's not been done before. Yeah.
And like, can you integrate with this API? It's like, I'm sure we can, but we've never worked with that API before. We've got no idea how it works. And so how do you go about estimating for those things? I guess, I mean, an estimate's an estimate, but what happens if it goes over? What happens if it's under? Like, there's all that kind of stuff to consider. It's really difficult.
Yeah. What does everyone else do? Sam does estimates and charges by the hour. Great. Anybody else? What do you do? How do you fix these problems? Have you got a golden solution that we're just missing out on?
I would say one thing that we do quite often these days is, this is especially for your side of things, you'll charge for an hour of investigation. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know how long this is going to take, but give me an hour, and A, I may have fixed it within the hour, and B, I'll have a much, much better idea of how long it's going to take if I haven't done it within the hour. And that works quite well. So just pay me a fixed amount of money for an hour's worth of time, and then we'll go from there. We'll give you an estimate or a quote or whatever from that point.
But yeah, but even that comes with the caveat that your hour might be wasted, because AI might not be able to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and B, it might be 25 grand worth of work.
Yeah.
So your hour's wasted because you're not going to go ahead with it. And that's, again, it's not a perfect solution, but I actually do think that is a good solution.
Yeah.
But you've got to get the client to trust that you're going to spend that hour wisely and do your job properly, which obviously we are. But when you're working with someone new, is that what they want? Are you going to be able to convince them to spend whatever it is for an hour's work to possibly not get the outcome that they want? Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, interesting. Oh, there's a comment in here from Dean. So he says, timesheet, full stop. Some agencies do a minimum charge of a day. This stops people flicking between multiple projects throughout the day. Yeah, I kind of get that. Well, I think we kind of experimented with that previously, ages ago, Mark, where we had like a minimum amount of time we would spend on anything. Like, yeah, we're not ever going to bill you for 15 minutes work. It's going to be a minimum of an hour. So
yeah,
that kind of thing. And I get that. It's a slightly different problem, I guess. I don't know. And
that's a bit like what the do an hour of work to test it for. Because like I said, if it might only be 15 minutes work, in which case, if you complete the work in 15 minutes, you're charging for an hour. You know, you're charging more, but it's this minimum commitment that you've got to make for us to go into this.
Yeah.
Which is something.
Peter says, I really avoid an hourly rate. I give an honest rate. We'll come back to that. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. I also take into consideration if the client is or will be someone I really want to work with. Yeah, but like when you're pricing something, there's loads and loads of factors and variables and inputs into that. And I think whether you want to work with someone or not is a really, really big part of that. We had a call the other day, actually. And it was someone who is going to need a recruitment website. And that is a service that we, at this point, offer, although we're kind of winding that down, potentially. So we didn't sell it at all during the call, did we? And then after the call, we're like, those guys are really nice, and they need us. Like, they are our ideal client. So maybe we'll bend things slightly and to try to help them out. But yeah, it makes a big, big difference. Do you want to take Sam's?
Yeah, so Sam just says here, if it's a, this is when our one, oh, there it goes, I thought it was going to come on. If it's a pop-up, you'll know it's more likely to be close to half a day than 3 days. It's a big piece of work and then a paid discovery phase, but it's always clear it's an estimate. So I think what you're saying, Sam, is that we're not going to do a fixed charge for that work. We'd say we think it's going to be 500 quid, but then we actually bill for how much it is. Because again, I don't think the client would be happy with that. They don't know how much it's going to cost them.
Yeah, what if it comes in three times more than your estimate, for example? Yeah. But yeah.
And when you come back and say, oh, I'm really sorry, but it was three times more than I estimated, is that on you or is that on the client? Do you meet halfway? It just causes conflict, confusion, which is kind of what we're discussing in terms of it's a pain on both sides, you know, difficult.
Yeah, yeah. But the time-based billing does kind of get around the issue that we're facing. It just, in my opinion, opens up other issues that I'm not really prepared to face. Like if we just said, yeah, our daily rate is X, I think it's going to be about 20 days. We're not entirely sure. Then that makes, I mean, that's simple from that point of view, but it's not simple because it kind of, for me, that kind of kicks the can down the road a little bit in terms of potential problems. It's like, yeah, we can, let's just sign this thing that's really easy to understand right now without thinking of the implications of that, like you say, when things are underestimated or overestimated or whatever. So yeah, tricky stuff. And I've definitely, like, I think this comes with age a little bit, and maybe experience in the industry. I just feel a little bit jaded with that kind of thing. Like in the past, I felt a bit more scrappy. Like I was like, yeah, you know, I'll give this a go. I'm going to try to get in there with some of the bigger agencies, and I'm going to, you know, fight my corner and pitch myself and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I felt like I had that fight and that energy and drive. And honestly, I don't anymore. Like, I just don't. I think that's partly, again, because we're lucky that the product side of our business has taken off. So, and I think potentially if we didn't have any of our products creating any revenue for us, I think we would feel a lot more motivated around the project stuff to fight for that work. Whereas at the minute, we're just like, nah, can't really be bothered. I think that has played a big part in our mindset.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think you're right. I think that has played a bigger part. You would probably feel like we have to do these things a bit more than we're doing at the moment because we've got the other stream of income. Sam says, yeah, exactly. We bill for the time taken. It's tricky with any estimates, but normally we're pretty close. I'd agree. We're normally pretty close. But I think what we're talking about is those edge cases that you're not, and that's where the frustration comes in. We'll let the client know when we reach the estimate and have that conversation. We suppose spend more time. That's an interesting comment because that implies that the client can then say, well, I don't want you to spend any more time, but it's not finished. So they've paid for nothing, essentially, because you haven't finished
what
it.
I
think that's awful for a client. They haven't got anything from
it. I mean, you could have got to your estimate and you're only a third of the way through the project. Yeah. And they're like, well, we can't afford to finish it because we thought it was going to be this much and now it's going to be three times that. So then, Yeah, interesting. We're not saying you're wrong, Sam, by any stretch because, we haven't got this right.
Most of the time, you're right. So most of the time, it's fine. And I'd agree with that as well, definitely.
I said I'd come back to it and I never did. I'd really like to know what Peter means by an honest rate. Please define, because I think the words honest and like fair when it comes to pricing, I find really, really interesting. Like, what does that actually mean? What's a fair price or an honest rate? So Peter, if you're willing to, I'd be really interested to hear your definition on that. Anything else to add on that topic, Mark, or should we move on?
No, we'll move on. I think it's something that's, I think all agencies have that as a pain point. All freelancers have that as a pain point, I think. And sometimes it works well, sometimes it needs improving. Some agencies got it better than others. But I suppose you're always going to have a client that is an edge case that pushes the boundaries and causes you a bit of headache, maybe. It's about, you know, doing your best to make it as best as it can be. So, right, next topic then. We have one question at the top. We'll come back to that at the end because it's not about the topic. But we'll come back to that at the end, as we said. If you've got any questions that are not related to these things, stuff you've seen this week or whatever about WordPress, then do put them in. We'll try and chat about them. So the next topic was migrating content in terms of how we do that. Do you want to set this one up, Keith?
Well, I mean, it's just a very common part of the site build process is quite often people already have a website, whether on WordPress or another platform, and they've got a lot of content on that website and they don't want to have to necessarily write it all again. So they want some kind of content migration from their current website to the site that you're building for them. How do people do that? I can think of a few ways, but...
I'll start with how we usually do that. And the answer is pretty basic, copy and paste for most of it on the front end. The reason for that, and we always explain this to clients as well. We actually explained this to the client in question like a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, this is how this topic came up. So their site has around about 100 pages and around about 150 newsy blog posts, essentially. So not an awful lot of content. The content is added using flexible content in ACF, so it's not saved in the content of the post. And we don't know where they're going to move the content to, but if they stay with WordPress, it is likely that they're going to be using some form of page builder, maybe the block editor, maybe Elementor, or sort of things like that. So the content's probably not going to work in its current state with the new site. So from my point of view as a developer, you've got a couple of options. You either build something that will export that data in the right format so that you can then import it. And then the question is, how long is that going to take? And if that's going to take, yeah, I don't know, a day, half a day, 2 days, we're back to the estimating thing again. Is that actually any quicker? And is it going to get the data in the place that you want it exactly as you want it? Because you've got to then factor in the time of going through the post and checking everything. So for us, usually, unless the site has got a lot of content on it, it is easier to copy and paste them across and get everything right in the same, at the same time. And we did a Squarespace to my WordPress migration a couple of years ago now. And they had a similar amount. I think it was like 100, maybe less than 100 pages. But they had some content pages, like 30, 35 pages, and about 200 blog posts. Yeah. And we just did it manually, essentially. I think we did Squarespace offered a WordPress export, but it exported a lot of like markup. The block editor did a really good job of tidying that up, converting it to blocks, but then we had to go through each one and add the correct images through and set it all up. And we just created a checklist and then put all the blog posts in, and then you had a checklist. Yep, done this, set the right SEO title, set the page look to the same thing, et cetera, et cetera. And that was quite good. But yeah, I think we've never really done any sort of like enterprise scale migrations from, you know, one system into another. So for us, it's more of a manual approach. And I think the client was quite shocked, might be not the right word, but like we'd probably have to do this manually. But once we explained, I think they understood that actually it's probably the cheapest way of doing it, even though it sounds a bit basic and, you know.
Well, the other thing with doing it manually is you've got eyes on all the content. So if you set up some kind of automated process, like, are you then going to go and check all of those posts and pages that have just been migrated? Because there might be something in there that you didn't expect, like a video embed that you on a page that you didn't know existed. You haven't built that into your migration tool, and it doesn't know what to do with that when it gets on the page. So yeah, I mean, that's another good reason. It's not fun work, so it would be great if there was ways to do it. But with WordPress especially, because it's not just like WordPress is a single thing that with a unified data structure and a single way of building content. So you can, like, who knows what it's coming into in WordPress or where it's coming from. If it is WordPress to WordPress, that's not actually any better than if it's Squarespace to WordPress necessarily, because it could be coming from Divi into Gutenberg, or it could be coming from Elementor into an ACF built layout, you know. So yeah, it's really tricky. It's really tricky.
Yeah, definitely. Joseph has a comment. Thank you. I recently had a tricky migration from Umbreco, which didn't have the great export features. I built a front-end scraper using Node and Cheerio, which worked very well. Yeah, see, I wouldn't have a clue how to build that. I literally wouldn't have a clue. So it'd be something completely new, and therefore, it could take weeks, so that's good. But if you've got the knowledge, then awesome.
Yeah, if you've got the skills, go for it, definitely.
You know, and if you can, package that up and let other people use it for paid or non-paid, it'd be good. But yeah, well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is worth the effort. because it can be modified in the future, but it did mean content was coming into WP as a classic block. Yeah, so then would you have to go through each piece of content to split it into the different blocks? Maybe the classic block's okay. You know, I don't know. Interesting to hear.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, migrating content is always a difficult one. Interesting to see how other people manage it. I know there's quite a few plugins actually for WordPress, isn't there, where you can export, and not just the standard WordPress import export tool. There's like all these other ones that can bring in content in different formats and CSVs and all sorts of things like that. So sometimes they could be useful.
It'd be pretty cool. Like, I could imagine, I think this would be very bespoke, but I could imagine something, if someone's built something, for example, using ACF flexible content, and they want to bring that into native blocks, you could imagine some kind of converter there that takes one and builds the other. So if it's this type of flexible content module, we're going to be creating this block markup.
You don't know the markup is.
You don't know what...
The front-end markup could be anything for flexible content.
The front-end markup. Yeah, but it's coming from... But you could see it, right?
On the front-end, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter as long as you get the content bit of it, the markup. I mean, if you're going from that to Gutenberg, for example, you're just grabbing the content from ACF and then outputting that in a particular pattern within Gutenberg. I could imagine that kind of working.
I don't
know
what pattern to output it in, because you wouldn't know that'd be custom. That's what content is.
That would be a custom thing, I mean.
Right. Right.
So you would know what the flexible content structure was, and you would know what pattern you wanted to replace that with in Gutenberg, and then you just need to kind of make sure the content is in the right place within that pattern. I could see that working, but that's again a very, very manual process, and by the time you've built that, could copy and pasting just have been just as quick.
I suppose once you've built it, though, it makes it easier, doesn't it? I don't know what it's like for everyone else, but Keith just keeps breaking up for me, so apologies if I'm a bit delayed in answering his questions and things. Dean says WP all exporter importer with CSV mapping is good, but I don't think it would help with adding content to the block editor. Yeah, I've used that before. I can't remember what I used it for now. Obviously importing and exporting, but I can't remember what specific project it was on. But that was helpful, definitely. Something to look into if you're doing that. Okay, I think that wraps that up. Questions. Dean had one right at the top. Top of the show. Has Mark found an agency that likes the FSE editor yet? I think this was based on a tweet that I sent out a few weeks ago. And the answer is no. I haven't actually had any replies on the positive of that to say that someone is liking the FSE editor. Had a few replies of people that are using it, some using it more than others. I don't think anyone sort of said it's the best thing they've ever used in the world, and they would recommend it, sort of thing. It's not finished yet; it's still being built. I know Keith.
It's not
has
a bit. It's not a beta though. Yeah,
that's true. I know. Yes, there's no.
So it is. So it is finished. Like, I mean, not finished, but it's apparently ready for production. So, yeah,
it's frustrating.
Doing some very, very basic stuff this morning and getting very, very frustrated with it. Just around alignment and spacing, and it was awful. But, you know.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
It's the wrong
Sam
thing, whatever.
Sam says, how's Keith's house coming along? Is it
have I lost you, Mark?
I'm still here, hopefully.
I've lost Mark. I'm not
Everyone
sure.
Everyone else can still hear me. I don't know. Maybe it's me that keeps getting lost. How's Keith's house coming along? Is it finished? If Keith hasn't got this question, I think he's in. I think whether it's finished or not is a different matter. So it's still an ongoing task, I think. Anything else? Simon says, does anybody know what WordPress is about anymore? Lol.
Good question.
Yeah, it's definitely been changing a lot recently, hasn't it? With lots of things to catch up on and so on. So it's an interesting question. Craig says your audio's fine, but your video keeps locking out. So anyway, any other questions before we finish? We should be back to Friday next week, I think. Let me just check the calendar while we're here. Yeah, there's nothing in the calendar for everyone's off. So hopefully back to Friday next week, 1:30, same time as usual. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for your comments in the chat. Really appreciate that. Appreciate people getting involved. If there's any topics you want to discuss, anything that you want us to go through, any questions that you have, let us know. We're on Twitter at WPMark, at Keith Devon, or at WP Cafe Show. And as always, give us a like if you've enjoyed watching this video. And don't forget to subscribe. Until then, we will see you next Friday.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.